Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
What was the most significant outcome of the football weekend? There's a lot to sift through, a lot to sort through, a lot to dissect, to diagram, to dialogue and debate. Whether it be college or pro, which one stands out with having the most impact? Now, we haven't seen yet what the college football playoff committee will do with the results. But this isn't the final set of rankings. What we do know is that the doors have been opened for other teams that needed something to happen ahead of them. And so in college, plenty of chaos. 1-3-6, all lose. Bama needs that last minute effort against Mississippi State. But just as I talked about with the Patriots last hour, what you know about Nick Saban teams and Alabama programs, they may not always win. They do win a lot. They may not always win. But it's not going to be for lack of preparation. And even when there are young guys, I mean, Jalen Hurts is in his second year as the starter with Bama. But even in 2 years, think about the number of huge stages he has played on. Think about the pressure that he's faced. Naturally, just by putting on the Bama uniform, it comes with the territory. One thing that I did see a lot of was Nick Fitzgerald, the Bulldogs quarterback, really sticking to his game plan and methodically picking on that weaker second level of the defense. So where all the linebackers have been injured and lost for Alabama, he was content to throw those mid-level passes, not looking to take a ton of shots down the field, though they did a few. But they were able to get into that second line of defense. And with some pinpoint accuracy, Fitzgerald and the Bulldogs moved the ball a lot. It's just, you got to be able to stop Jalen Hurts, and Alabama has options. So we did see Hurts take a couple of shots downfield early in the game. But then late, it was just the tide rolling on the ground. So Bama needs every last second of the game against Mississippi State to preserve its perfect record. What Miami did against Notre Dame, with the turnover chain being the star of the game, that was fun. Four Irish turnovers. And Mark Richt having Miami still undefeated. Man, that's one of the best storylines of college football so far this season. So there's a lot to pick apart just in college. But then week 10 in the NFL, lots of streaking going on. The Saints have won seven straight with their six rushing touchdowns at Buffalo. Consider this. The Saints had six rushing touchdowns. The Bills had 10 first downs the entire game. What? You want to talk about lopsided? Typically, it's LeSean McCoy that's running up and down the field on everybody else. And you would have thought maybe a season ago, season before that, the Saints defense would have been susceptible, but not this season. The Vikings and Patriots have both won five in a row. One of my favorite stories of the weekend coming from the Vikings game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. Inside the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So you can find me on Twitter at A-Law Radio and just posted our Monday MVP poll. This was really difficult. It's always difficult to narrow it down. It's an NFL poll, so if your favorite college guys are not in there, you know, like Rodney Anderson of Oklahoma, well, then don't despair. This is just NFL, and you can certainly write in guys. lots of other candidates. It was hard to pick just one guy from the Vikings for sure. So our two Twitter accounts, After Hours CBS or at A-Law Radio, plus a lot of you already weighing in on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The Vikings welcomed back Teddy Bridgewater. More than a year and a half since his devastating knee and leg injuries. We knew he was practicing. We knew he'd gotten cleared to play. Well, he was there on the Viking sidelines as the backup QB was ready to take snaps if that's what was required. And it wasn't, because Case Keenum had a phenomenal day until he had the two late interceptions that allowed the Redskins to make this a little closer than it actually was. This was a blowout, even though the final score was 38-30. Again, a couple of late picks by Keenum, marring his overall stat line. But the Vikings offense played extremely well. And when you think about the losses that the Vikings have suffered on that side of the ball, this was impressive. So Case Keenum has this huge day. But my favorite moment of this game actually came right after the national anthem, when the teams were down at their benches or final preparations, whatever it is. And the cameras captured Teddy Bridgewater, overcome with emotion on the bench, crying. A lot of his teammates coming up to him, trying to hide his face in his towel or at least wipe some of the tears away. But just overcome with emotion. A really significant moment for him, for the Vikings. Just in general, a testament to the power of the human spirit and to this idea that even if it's a really long road, it doesn't mean the road is not worth it. Also, when something that we love so much, that we've had in our lives for so long, is taken away from us, you recognize how much you appreciate it, how much it means to you. You don't take it for granted anymore when you're forced to do without for a period of time. And for Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, that emotion represented all of his feelings after a year and a half of attempting to get back to football.
It all boiled up. I kind of screamed a little on the sideline after I said my prayer in the end zone. I screamed a little. And then when I got on the sideline, it was like, man, it's really about to happen. But like I said, today it was a great moment for my life, my personal life, but it was even a better moment for this team. We got out there, we competed. And we won a big game that we need to win on the road. I just have to approach each day with the mindset that, hey, I'm going to get better. Whether it's being a better teammate, getting better with my health, or studying the game, and things like that. I have that mindset that, hey, if I play, I play. And I'm going to give it my all. Won't hold anything back. But right now, we're cherishing this moment. It's about Vikings winning in Washington against a good team.
Vikings are now 7-2. And this is a good problem to have, though. If you're the Vikings, don't you want to see Teddy Bridgewater on the field? It's not as though they need to make a quarterback change and shouldn't. They've won 5 games in a row. They're playing well. You don't interrupt that mojo.
Mike Zimmer, mass slaughtering of stuffed animals.
You don't start messing around with the stuffed animals. No voodoo dolls. I mean, Case Keenum's earned this starting job. He deserves to keep it. And so you don't go interrupting that flow now. Think about the rapport that he has with Adam Thielen, with Stephon Diggs. He has a lot of targets he's using, plus Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon both ran the ball well. Of course, they're without Dalvin Cook, their rookie running back. The defense is playing well. This is a team that is heading in the right direction, maybe the direction they thought they'd head a year ago when they lost Teddy Bridgewater and then had to go trade for Sam Bradford. Also, they have some of the best TD celebrations out there. If we could find the Adam Thielen touchdown in which they did the leapfrog afterwards, it was fantastic.
Only you know what I mean, baby.
No, Gronk, I don't need to see you playing leapfrog. But I was tickled because when I was in Cuba over the summer, you know what one of the games we played was? Leapfrog. Extremely competitive. kids, teens, adults, and you got matched up with someone who is similar to your size. And my partner and I killed it. We were the reason why our team won this extremely competitive, loud, obnoxious game of leapfrog. It went on for a good 10 minutes. And we had to go like four or five times. So it was a relay. And my partner Brad and I killed it. We were two of the oldest people there, and we still killed it.
Probably one of the greatest performances I've ever seen live.
I don't mean two of the oldest people in Cuba, two of the oldest people who are participating. We are so proud. We practiced ahead of time and nailed it. So this leapfrog.
We're talking about practice.
We did practice. So this leapfrog touchdown celebration may have now solidified its spot as number one. And the Vikings are really creative with their TD celebrations. I love it. So, yeah, they're playing really well right now. But it's got to be tempting to get Teddy Bridgewater a couple of snaps. I know that this is pro football and you can't interrupt when you got a good thing going. That's the last thing in the world they want to do, but really impressive to see Bridgewater back after everything he's gone through.
Staging a stuffed animal massacre.
What? Mike Zimmer, that was such a long time ago. Don't try to get me off track. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I mean, I know we didn't tease about it for a while and you were a candidate for the Hall of Flame, but man, that... I mean, are you not going to let that go? You're just going to carry that grudge? Here I am talking positive about your team. That was so much fun when we talked about the stuffed animal massacre. Sports is never-ending source of entertainment. Other team streaking. I'm sorry, I don't know what's up with my nose, so please forgive me. Steelers, Rams, Titans have all won four games in a row. And the Jaguars are keeping pace atop the AFC South with their third straight win. Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Jacksonville all had late game rallies or in the case of the Jags, an overtime rally against the Chargers. All of this stuff builds up and it prepares you for what's to come. The Rams, of course, were taking on the Houston Texans, who are in their second straight game without Deshaun Watson, Tom Savage being the starter, and it was brutal. I mean, brutal. Night and day, the difference between the Texans with Deshaun and without. And no doubt that's in the head of Savage. It was Savage to watch. He was responsible for four turnovers, two interceptions, two fumbles. The defense actually played well. So the way that the Rams were able to take advantage was because of all of those turnovers. This was a 7-3 game for a while. And then even after the Rams were able to score in the second quarter, this was still just a 9-6 game. 9-7. 9-7 at the half. It was just floodgates open in the second half. And not only are there turnovers for the Texans, but they just don't possess the ball for very long. They started out the second half with, I think it was a short drive that maybe went 20 yards. And then they went three and out, fumble, five and out, interception. It was just, ugh. So you're putting your defense in such a bad situation. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Plus, I just retweeted our Monday MVP poll. We're going to get back to your calls about the most significant game of the football weekend. It was certainly a weekend that lived up to its hype, I think. In college, we had tons of chaos. In the NFL, we've got not only history, big-time performances, we've got streakers, we've got a team getting its first win. We've got really interesting teams and topics and storylines atop the divisions. We love all the fresh blood for sure. So find me on Twitter and we'll take your calls 855-212-4227 plus Facebook posts about the most significant game of the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Shotgun snap, book. Looking to his right.
Got it. Bye now.
He's going to go all the way. He's at the 40, at the 30, near sideline, 20, 15, 10. Trayshon Bandy takes it all the way home. It's a touchdown. Touchdown, Miami. 66 yards. They are going crazy at Hard Rock Stadium. Miami 26, Notre Dame nothing. It's a pick six.
Okay. exciting night, obviously. What a wonderful night for our fans, for our players. I mean, just every single person who's a part of this program. It's amazing what can happen when everybody works together.
Potentially, we could see some future NFL material. It is a football Sunday night where we typically do 95% NFL, but what a big weekend in college. Showdown Saturday equals college football chaos. A pick six by Bandy for the Miami Hurricanes, and you hear the call on the Miami Hurricanes Sports Network with Joe Zagacki. Four Irish turnovers, which means we got a massive dose of the turnover chain. And Mark Richt, who, as you can imagine, is soaking all of this in and so thrilled. He's a Miami native. He got fired from Georgia. He goes home to Miami. He knows the area. Great recruiting. And he has revived this program, to be sure. After taking out number three Notre Dame, the Canes are still undefeated. How high do they move up? That's going to be a big question for the College Football Playoff Committee to answer. Also, the turnover chain has become one of the most popular symbols of this college football season.
I think most people see our kids are just having fun with it. You know, we're not trying to be anything other than enjoying, celebrating something that happens. I mean, people have a different way to celebrate a turnover. We're not the first ones to do that. We just got the best one, you know. Got the one that, you know, draws the most attention. And the fact that we're getting so many turnovers, people are seeing it a lot more than maybe somebody else's way of doing it.
When I was in college, we got a piece of a plastic piece of steak handed out when we did something significant on defense. So whether it was a huge turnover, whether it was taking a charge, our defensive coach would hand out this big plastic piece of steak. Like, arr, you know, getting a big bite out of the meat. So it was certainly a symbol for us that we all tried to go after. And here's this turnover chain, blinged out big U with the flashy gold chain around the neck. And it gets passed up and down the sidelines, and it's pretty fun. I was actually thinking about it on Sunday, whether or not there would be some guys out there on Sunday who could use the turnover chain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mike is in Miami. Mike, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, great show.
Thank you.
I'm here to talk about my alma mater, the University of Miami, and the dominant performance that we put on this weekend. I was very privileged to be at the game.
Woo!
It was a great, first it was a college game day. We got the number one ratings through this season.
Nobody cares. That's a different network, but, you know, talk about the actual game.
Okay. Sorry. And then I went to the game. Manny's defense again shut down another great offense. Notre Dame came in averaging 324 yards on the ground, and we held them to 109.
Mm-hmm.
Adams only got 40 yards. Homer did so much better than he did. And, you know, now we have two weekends in a row where we gave dominant performances.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait to play Clemson. I think that's going to be a great game and another great test. They have a lot more speed than they get credit for, so it's going to be a great test for our defense. But, you know, and I will be at that game, too. I can't wait. And
that's cool.
And, you know, as far as the way I see it, I would probably put Bama, OU, then us, and then Clemson. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We have everything we have in front of us. We win, and that's it. Game over. We'll be where we need to be. But I cannot be happier for my U to finally be back, and for Rick to be back at his alma mater where he belongs. Let's go, Canes. and I love that turnover chain.
Okay, good. Well, that's it. That's some great energy for this hour. I love it. Congratulations. So Clemson and Miami will both be in the ACC title tilt, and so they will settle things in that conference championship, which comes up on December 2nd. That's going to be fantastic. Right now, Clemson is number 4, Miami number 7, but that will change. Andrew is in California. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling to talk about turnover chain Miami, baby.
Are you?
Yes.
All right.
And the reason I'm calling to talk about it, I'm actually going to say what put this over the edge. Okay, so usually you want a close game. But this blowout, this was a Miami-styled, high-powered, swagged-out turnover chain blowout. You know, you hear about helmet stickers, but the turnover chain's a whole nother level. Everybody just needs to catch up. And this rain may not be as old historically, but it is potent. The Miami Hurricanes, you know, they don't go back to the 30s or the 20s of whooping up to. But this is potent. And you got a rivalry. You got the turnover chain. You got the swag is back. Because everybody's been asking, oh, is Miami back? Well, guess what? We're back and we're coming. Mm-hmm. And Clemson, got to respect them. And we can't sleep on any game. But the U, we got them on and cracking. And honestly, once I knew we got Coach Rick, I knew we were sitting pretty because Georgia just got tired of him. He was doing a good job at Georgia, just couldn't get over the hump, change of scenery. Now it's new momentum. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, sir. So neat that lots of Canes fans are awake. They're staying woke across this entire college football season. And why not? I mean, what you've seen from them the last 2 weeks, which is what our caller Mike mentioned, is that there have been back-to-back wins over ranked opponents. So Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, both of those inside the top 13. And the Florida State game was against a ranked opponent when it was scheduled, but then it turned out to not be a ranked opponent. So these are the two wins that matter. Not to mention, if they beat Clemson, again, we don't know where Clemson's going to be in the rankings or where Miami is, but if they would beat Clemson in the ACC championship, so run the table, their next two games against Virginia, I mean, I don't want to call them a cream puff, but close enough. And then on the road at Pitt, which is a difficult place to play, going into the ACC championship, if you're undefeated and you beat the defending national champ, well, then you would think the Canes had earned their spot in the playoff. But there aren't enough spots for all the conference champs. I guess the Notre Dame question has presumably been taken care of. I don't think they have the ability now, enough time, or the schedule to be able to make up for this really bad loss on the road at Miami. I know it's only number 7. The problem is Notre Dame doesn't have a conference championship, and this is where you're hurt by not being part of a conference all the way. So they're sort of part of the ACC, but only for a few games. They got Navy coming up next, and they finish on the road at Stanford. Neither one of them are ranked opponents. And so while this loss wasn't a loss to an unranked team, it was certainly a team that was undefeated already, and it was on the road. The problem is, how can Notre Dame scratch, claw, fight back into the playoff? Because presumably the Irish will drop out. They don't have the resume left to be able to make up for this loss. And there are only so many spots. So that's a tough one. That's a little bit like what the Big 12 has faced the last couple of years, because they've got good teams, but not having that extra win or that extra opportunity on their schedule. That's different, of course, this year. What about OU-TCU? That was another game in which Baker Mayfield and the offense, Rodney Anderson, holy crap, what a game. Nearly 300 yards of offense, 2 receiving touchdowns, 2 running touchdowns. The man was a beast. So what was the most significant game of the football weekend, whether it be Saturday or Sunday? At A-Law Radio, you're blowing up our Facebook too, which I love, because there's not really a wrong answer for this one. Unless, of course, it's Peter Schwartz talking about his son getting into the Pee Wee Super Bowl, then we're just going to zip it, nip it in the bud. But otherwise, it's all you. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
That was a replay that went in favor of the team that was encroaching on the pylon. What a catch by Maurice Harris of the Redskins. Larry Michael and Chris Cooley with the call on the Redskins Radio Network. Might be the catch of the year. If you haven't seen it, it's all over the web. In fact, I'm sure producer Tom can find a GIF or find the video of it. Actually, you know what? I'm sitting here looking at it on my own Twitter. I'll retweet it from the NFL account. Catch of the year, ? But it also has the hashtag HTTR. So the Redskins didn't win. This game wasn't as close as the final score would indicate until there were a couple of late interceptions by Case Keenum. And so it takes a lot of the euphoria out of them winning in Seattle the weekend before to lose to Minnesota on your own field. But man alive, what a catch. This was Odell Beckham Jr.-ish. And the fact that it was originally ruled an incomplete and then was turned into a touchdown, well, that makes for an interesting play-by-play call, but also kind of adds to the drama. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of replays that didn't quite go the way that maybe people expected, how about in the Bears game? They thought they had, well, John Fox sees his player go toward the pylon, thinks that before the ball comes loose, that they've scored the touchdown, and so he challenges when the officials tell him that it's not a score, that they're short of the goal line. So it would have set up a first and goal for the Chicago Bears against the Packers. But by challenging, saying that it should have been, so John Fox was hoping that it would be called a touchdown as opposed to a first and goal, right? So he wanted to get it over with. He wanted to take the points. He wanted to get the heck out of Dodge. Instead, the ball gets ruled a fumble into the end zone. And so it's a touchback and a turnover. So how about that? He challenges, he throws the red flag. The Bears not only don't get the touchdown, but they also don't get their first and goal. And the referees on review look at it and decide it's a fumble. And so it's a touchback, meaning the ball's turned over to the Packers. Oh my gosh. The facial expressions, the look on John Fox's face when, so there's obviously a camera on the two coaches when they announce the results of the replay. The look on his face, the expectant look of, okay, it's either a touchdown or we have a first and goal, to, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. Bears only had this added to what was an ugly loss for them, as the replay showed that Benny Cunningham lost control of the ball before it made contact with the pylon. And so because of that, it was a fumble and a touchback, and the Packers took over. Oh, this was the Bears coming off their bye week. Meanwhile, the Packers just played Monday night against Detroit. And for those of you who were so ready to shut down the franchise, forfeit the rest of the season, fire Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson because it's Brett Hundley's fault. Well, think again.
Now motion by Jordy Nelson in the slot. On second and nine, a snap to Hundley. Looking. Scrambles to his right. Throws the right side for Adams. Spinning
yes.
Grab. Touchdown!
Yes.
Devontae Adams, a spinning grab along the right corner of the end zone.
It feels amazing. It's truly a blessing, especially to come in. And especially a rivalry game, you know, there was a lot going into this game. You know, I just thank the team, not only the offense, offensive line, receivers, running backs, but the defense played their butts off too.
Goodness. That's Brett Hundley. And he picks up his first NFL win, which is awesome. But this is how quickly things change in the NFL. It's how quickly the drama wheel It's like a, considering if you add in the owners, the way that Jerry Jones wants to sue to stall Goodell's contract or maybe replace him as commissioner, and now the other owners are calling his bluff and saying, fine, you want to sue us? Well, then watch what we might be able to do, somehow invoking the nuclear option and taking the franchise away from you, Jerry Jones.
I am a monkey fan.
These guys don't play. billionaires with huge egos who are used to being able to do what they want. And it's a relationship that works because of cooperation and because of a lot of the conversations and trying to, hey, you'll scratch my back, so I'll scratch yours kind of a thing. Trying to do what's best for the league, what's best for them as business owners. And here's this, now everybody yipping. And Jerry Jones threatens to potentially sue the compensation committee, sue the other owners to stop the progress that they've made on Goodell's contract. All of this stuff is leaking out all over the place. And then here comes a report on Sunday. According to Jason LaCanfora, who's our CBS Sports NFL insider, that the owners are now about to turn on Jerry Jones. So, man, if he's bluffing, he better back down.
We're on great terms.
He could continue moving forward with his lawsuit. And the owners, the other owners, who right now still make up a majority, are getting ticked off and trying to figure out how to shut him up. And so the nuclear option was brought up by Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, that some owners have even started digging into their CBA to figure out if there's a way they could vote out Jerry Jones as the owner of his own franchise. Make him forfeit ownership of the Cowboys. Could you imagine? That's what you get, Jerry Jones. You want to play hardball? Well, there's a bunch of other billionaire egos out there that'll play hardball with you if you want.
I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me.
I bet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
Or extend it.
Okay, I'm sorry if you are one of the people that got wrapped up in believing all of the different reports that came out on Sunday about Roger Goodell's contract demands. Oh my gosh, this gets juicier and more ridiculous with the day. So there was this report that was all over, not just sports Twitter accounts and sports pregame shows, but also news channels, that Roger Goodell had demanded a $50 million contract. So that was it, base salary, $50 million plus the incentives, and a private jet for the rest of his life.
Is that where is Roger?
Well, there's the first ever "where is Roger" chant.
I mean, you would never have to ask where Roger was if you had the flight plan and always knew where his private jet was landing. I mean, I refuse to believe anything like this when it's sources and whims and all that kind of stuff. But man alive, just it's gotten so disgusting and slimy. It's like they're trying to slime each other right now.
There you go.
Jerry's really working overtime on this one.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, Jerry Jones and the other owners appear to be at odds. And however many owners may be on Jerry's side, you can be sure that if those other guys see what the rest of the ownership is doing and how they're about to force the issue, that the support for Jerry is going to wane. I'm telling you, these guys play hardball because they can. They can afford all these crazy attorneys and all this ridiculous stuff that you would never think would come into play. But they're essentially trying to send a message: back the bleep down. Back down and zip it. You're not even on the compensation committee. This is none of your concern. He tried to force his way onto the compensation committee.
That's where we are. That's where we are.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so make sure that you check out our show Twitter if you want to see some of the different videos that we've got now. The Maurice Harris catch and the Bears fumbling forward and giving it back to the Packers, but only on replay. They actually challenged it, and it turned into a giveaway. How about that's just nutso. That's the kind of thing that only happens to a losing team. And that's where the Bears are right now with John Fox. And the incredulity on his face, just like, what just happened? You've got to be kidding me. I didn't just force a turnover with a challenge. I red flagged it so we would get a turnover. I mean,
You're kidding. That
could actually constitute tanking or throwing a game if you think about it. I'm surprised there's somebody out there who hasn't tried to twist this, like John Fox had money riding on the game, or he was getting paid off, one or the other. But on the Packers side of things, great for Brett Hundley, for the offense, to be able to come up with some momentum, for him to get his first NFL win. And if you haven't seen the video, I also tweeted this one, of him coming off the sidelines after the I think it was after the last kneel down, coming off the field onto the sidelines where You've got a bundled up Brett Favre waiting for him. The bro hug they exchange and the huge smiles on their faces. Again, it's awesome. I really admire that Aaron Rodgers can be happy for Brett Hundley. Certainly that's not the relationship that he and Brett Favre had. So, and I don't know that Brett Hundley is the heir apparent. I'm just saying right now, Aaron could be doing his own thing. He could be trying to get back to playing. Instead, he's in Green Bay and he's working with this young QB and he's trying to help him in any way that he can. And he's providing this awesome big brother kind of support. And so I did tweet that video earlier. It actually came from Brett Hundley's Twitter account with the caption, "What a time to be alive." So I love the smiles. You can check that out. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now coming up, some huge question marks about how the Colts and the Seahawks have handled concussion protocol for their quarterbacks. You know, this is serious business. The NFL is obviously investigating. And they expect these teams with their independent neurologists on the sidelines, with the spotters that are allowed to stop games, they expect that if a guy gets hit in the head and there are any signs, visible signs, that he might have head trauma or concussion-like symptoms, that he has to get checked out. And so in the case of both the Colts and the Seahawks these past games, their quarterbacks went into the tent, quickly got checked, and then boom, right back out there on the field. Except that in the case of Jacoby Brissett and the Colts, he's in concussion protocol now, after the game. After the game, he's in concussion protocol, but he played the rest of the way. So we'll hear from Chuck Pagano. Oh, just wait. If you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. It's our first show of the week here after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.